Our recent fire dangers across the Upper Cumberland, simply a reminder that Mother Nature is always at the controls, and one simply never knows what will be next. So preparedness is key. Brandon Smith is here to talk about winter preparedness. Thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
When we called to set up this discussion, you were in the middle of some type of emergency preparedness work. Is that at the heart of what you do every day?
It really is. Yeah. We spend most of our days thinking about worst-case scenarios and thinking about, you know, our historical events, things that we know were likely to happen, and just preparing, making sure the community's ready, making sure all the departments are ready. That's really at the core of a lot of what we do in emergency management.
So the things that you would think of, I guess, severe storms, winter weather,
right,
fire dangers.
Flooding.
Flooding
mm-hmm.
is obviously a big one. But has that scope expanded?
You know, I think it's been expanding for a series of decades. And you go back to, we always refer to pre-9/11 and post-9/11, right? And how that changed the landscape. You know, earthquakes are coming back into the conversation more than they ever have before with the fault lines that are nearby. And we're just seeing more meteorological disasters, you know, more weather-related stuff than we've seen in recent past. And it just seems to be on the rise. We were talking earlier today about the impact on the house insurance market. You know, getting home insurance in some states and some communities is just near impossible or so expensive that the homeowner can't afford it, because there have been so many claims across the country, specifically in those areas. And Florida is one of those that comes to mind with all the hurricanes.
At one point, we heard that insurance companies would not even write insurance in some parts of Florida.
I'd heard that also, yeah.
Yeah. Beyond the natural disasters, beyond what Mother Nature can wreak, you're also heavily involved in things like making sure with all of our beautiful natural trails, making sure that we have plans to deal with people getting lost, people getting hurt.
Right.
Planning ahead for those types of things.
Yeah, so the rescue squad actually is one of the sections of the Emergency Management Agency. It's a department that falls under us, and we're joined at the hip with the rescue squad and the mission of the Putnam County Rescue Squad. Great group of volunteers that do some phenomenal work. And, you know, I don't know that the community really understands all the things that our special operations team, for instance, gets into with our dive team, swift water team, rope rescue, our urban search and rescue and structural collapse. And there's just so much to that. We're now adding a drone unit, an unmanned aerial aircraft system unit that will take search and rescues from things that could be hours or days to potentially minutes. And so there are always things like that that we're looking at, and our state parks are certainly one of those places, not just the state parks, but there are other trails, not just public trails. There are private trails, you know, there are hunting leases where people get out on trails, and they're truly what you would refer to as in the middle of nowhere. One of those, you can't get there from here spots in the woods or out in the country. And so we're always looking at those, and how are we going to make access to those people? How are they going to get access to help? How are we going to get to them? What if they're injured when we get to them? Sometimes they just need a ride out, or they just need somebody to guide them out. And we've gone in and gotten people by boat and brought them out. We've gone in and got them by UTV, ATV. And so we're kayaks, for instance. We're always looking at what are the best ways to get those folks out. And then if they're injured, sometimes it's better to, you know, call in a helicopter that may be able to hoist them from the middle of the woods rather than bringing them all the way out on the trail. So we're just always looking at those plans so that it doesn't catch us by surprise.
The drone technology is impresses me from this standpoint. You know, we've had helicopters and that ability to search via helicopter. Does a drone give you the ability maybe to see things that in overgrown areas and tree-covered areas that maybe you couldn't see as well as with a helicopter?
Yeah, to some degree. Certainly, both of them have their own benefits. And I'll say that up front, that a helicopter has benefits where a drone doesn't. A drone has benefits where a helicopter doesn't. So I think keeping both of those in the toolbox and knowing when to use which one is certainly important. But the drone technology is so fast. The time it takes you to launch an aircraft once you get to the scene, to launch that out of a Pelican case or the pickup truck and have that up in the air with FLIR capabilities where you can see heat signatures and human trails and things like that. We watched one of the rescues we just did recently, you know, I was talking about by boat. We had a drone overhead, and we were watching the water temperature change as the boat came through the water. You could see the path of the boat in the water because it changed the temperature of the water behind it. And so it just adds value where, in many of the cases we're looking at for search and rescue, wilderness search and rescue especially, it can be dangerous to put humans back in that area looking for somebody that may or may not be there, with bluffs and sinkholes and caves and all those things, especially at night, where a drone can make an overhead pass and help identify some of those, you know, those features that are potentially hazardous, and may even be able to find your victim that you're searching for very quickly.
So that's just another form of technology that many of us would not have realized was available.
Certainly.
Yeah. Brandon Smith, Emergency Management. We're getting you ready for winter. We'll get into some winter tips next. Heading up Emergency Management in Putnam County, Brandon Smith is our guest. So winter weather is supposedly coming.
That's what they say.
You never know here what we're going to get.
That's right.
You know, last year it was one of the coldest days ever in the Upper Cumberland, and then the rest of the winter it just seemed like it didn't feel like winter.
That's right.
From day to day. What's the biggest thing that most of us don't realize about preparing for winter? What's the simple thing we could all do?
I think the biggest thing is just the mentality that it'll never happen to me. And I think that's with preparedness in general. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. We get so accustomed to, we're just going to stay in on a snow day and, or we're just going to run to the store. We're going to make a small errand. And there may be a need for us to really think a little deeper into that, because that very short errand can become a life-threatening event if the right circumstances occur. And as we know, and like you alluded to, the weather changes every 15 minutes here. You know, you tell people who move here, if you don't like the weather, just wait an hour. It'll change, right?
Yeah.
Just hold on. It'll be a new season in an hour. So I think that's the big thing, is that everybody just understands we all have a part to play in that personal preparedness. The preparedness of your family is a personal responsibility. You have to take responsibility for you and your family and your friends and your neighbors and those who need your help to make sure that everybody's ready, whether it be emergency preparedness for winter or severe storms, any of the things that we've talked about.
Let's start inside the home, cranking up those heating units maybe for the first time. What are things that can cause you issues?
Yeah, so space heaters are one of the things that come to mind from working closely with our fire departments. A lot of folks don't understand those in-wall heaters, even though they may be turned off. If the temperature in the house drops to a certain temperature, you know, drops below a certain temperature, those things can kick on even if they've been off for 15 or 20 years.
And then you have a piece of furniture.
You've now pushed a couch in front of that, right, or a bed in front of that, and you have a significant fire and a significant threat to your life. So that's one thing. People firing up the fireplace, you know, for the first time this year, or maybe they didn't even use it last year. I can't imagine anybody had a fireplace during that cold snap and didn't use it. But maybe they didn't use their fireplace last year and it needs to be cleaned and inspect the flue and make sure that everything's on the up and up, because that's a big cause of home fires as well. We see it less now than in years past because less people use wood heat in the home, but it's still certainly something that's concerning, and inspecting those heat sources and using approved heat sources, not getting too creative with your heat. You know, even when the power goes out, if there is an ice storm or there's a snowstorm or just the power goes out during a cold snap, using only approved heating sources and not bringing in the charcoal grill. And I know that sounds silly, but to some people that makes sense in that moment. And we've had people get in some serious trouble by doing things like that.
Carbon monoxide detectors.
Yeah.
I remember when they kind of first hit the market 15, 20 years ago, you talk to emergency officials and they said, well, I don't know if you really need those. But now, is there really a push that you do?
Very much so. Yeah. And especially when you think about the different types of heat you may have in your home, right? If you have one of the heat sources that's going to off-gas carbon monoxide, garages that are attached to the home, or specifically basement garages, can really be tricky with those, because that carbon monoxide is going to come up into the house. If you go out and you start the car, and you didn't pull it out of the garage, you started up to warm it up, you know, to go put the kids in it. We've had people start their car or pull back into the garage in the basement and forget that the car was running and go up into the house to do something. They were going to come right back and got sidetracked, never came right back. And so the house fills with carbon monoxide. So, yeah, there's certainly more opportunities for that now.
I always use this weekend before Thanksgiving to go out and unhook the hoses from the spigots.
Absolutely.
You talk about something that could save you a lot of money.
unhook the hose, and they make, you know, fancy frost covers, and you can do it cheaper ways than going out and buying one of those, but those things are dirt cheap to just cover that spigot, because that's an open air source straight into your water system.
Brandon Smith is with us, getting you ready for winter, whatever Mother Nature has in her back pocket as we continue. Getting you some winter weather safety tips as winter approaches. Who knows exactly what we will see this year? You read different forecasts, and they say different things. I guess the almanac said that it's supposed to be snowy.
And we all know the almanac's like Facebook. If it's there, it's pretty much legit, right?
Brandon Smith is our guest. Let's talk about your car. And we're talking about easy things that you can do that are not going to cost you a lot of money. Is it a good idea to put a blanket, some extra clothes, some bottled water, some things in your trunk just to have in there during the winter months?
100%. And it goes back, you know, earlier we were talking about how a simple trip to the grocery store can become a nightmare. You slide off the road, you come upon a crash, you're stuck in traffic. There's so many, the vehicle becomes disabled for whatever reason. And so having that emergency kit with jumper cables and a battery box, phone chargers, hats, gloves, blankets, coats, flashlights, the emergency whistle, first aid kit, you know, all the things that you would need in an emergency. And then also it's never a bad idea to put a bag of sand, a bag of kitty litter, something that's going to help you get traction if you slide off the road in a remote area and somebody can't help you. But that also adds weight to the back of your vehicle. If you put it in the truck bed or in the trunk of the car, it adds weight to give you a little more traction. Luckily, around this area, if you're anywhere near a populated area, somebody's going to help you. People will not let you just sit on the side of the road and be stranded. And I think we're proud as a community to do that. We all stop and help each other.
But your point is well made, that sometimes we're all known to take, you know, side streets, take a shortcut. And you're off the road and the weather's bad and there may not be as many people out.
That's right. Or maybe it's late at night and there aren't as many people out in the first place.
In terms of, and we saw this during the winter storm that we had, what was that, 2015, 16?
Yes,
that people needed a way to charge their phones. And I think about how far that technology has gone. You know, people were sitting in their cars to charge their cell phones. Maybe a good idea to keep some of those different types of chargers that don't have to be plugged in.
Absolutely.
For your cell phone.
Yeah, the battery packs are always a good idea. Keep those in the car. Keep those in the home. You know, we learned that in the ice storm in 2015. People would go out into their cars. They were without power for 2 weeks in some parts of Monterey and the eastern Putnam County. And so they'd go sit in their car long enough to charge their cell phone, start the car up, warm up, charge their cell phone, and then go back in the house. That's how people were receiving our emergency messages. So we were a little more proactive, you know, because we knew it may be hours before some people got those. If you have those battery packs in the home, those can be a tremendous asset to you. And a lot of the booster boxes that you can buy have USB ports or have, you know, power outlets on those. Make sure that you know what your plan is and you have a way to charge that device.
How about checking your vehicles for fluids, antifreeze, that sort of thing? Is this a good time now to do that before the heart of winter arrives?
Absolutely. Yeah, do it before you need it, right, to get prepared. Check tire pressures. You know, as the seasons change, so should your tire pressure. And that's something a lot of vehicles have, the automatic alarms on them. You may not know why the tire looks fine. You may not know why the alarm's going off. Let somebody look at that or take a look at that. Check your tire pressures. Check your fluids, especially that antifreeze. We always recommend keep at least a half a tank of fuel in the car. You know, the fuller the tank can be, the better off you are. And it also adds weight for traction during snow and ice and sleet.
You know, one that's also important during this time of the year is to make sure you have plenty of windshield wiper fluid.
Absolutely.
Parents and kids.
Yeah.
You want the kids outside.
Yep.
But sometimes I don't know that we always realize just the danger that can happen to them in terms of exposure.
Yeah. And kids don't realize it either, right? You know, kids are just having the time of their life. They don't realize. So obviously dressing your kids for the weather is a big part of that. And that seems like common sense. But again, many times the kids may be just going outside for a few minutes. If the parent's not outside with them, then they may not realize how cold it actually is. Or they may not realize that your child only has one glove on and one hand is exposed to the cold temperatures. Dressing your children in layers for school. And we think about our kids going to school. They're going to be in the school building all day. They're going to be nice and warm. And while we like to rely on that, sometimes emergencies happen. They may have to evacuate because the fire alarm goes off inside that building. Or maybe there's an emergency that they need to get outside of that building. And until we can get buses there, we can get those kids where they need to be, there may be some cold exposure. Sometimes they go outside for class projects in the middle of the school day, and you just need to have a coat, gloves, hat. So just using those common sense tips each and every day and being prepared is a big part of that.
Brandon Smith is with us, giving you some tips on how to deal with winter.